The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour One Podcast.
Hey, welcome to a new week. We're so glad you are here as we are about to say goodbye to the shortest month of the year, February. We have a lot to do over these next 4 hours, and we look forward to having you join us for as long as you can make time. Let's get right to the headlines. And there were some dramatic ones over the weekend. One of the same stories we've been following for a while. This is in the New York Post. Brandon Miller cheered, called out for pretend frisk amid Alabama shooting controversy. The story that will not go away got worse over the weekend, in case you were keeping score at home. There is a couple of things going on in Alabama. Inside the launch of Yay Alabama, that's really the new collective, although they don't call it a collective. We'll talk about it a little bit later on with the author of this article in On Three. Combine week is going on, and Hendon Hooker, could he be, he would have been, or would he have been a first-round pick had he not hurt his knee? We'll talk about it a little bit later on. And I hope we didn't catch you off guard, but spring football begins in some quarters of the SEC. How about Auburn, to be exact, Missouri, and Vanderbilt also open this week. Some schools, for whatever reason, don't open for about 3 weeks, including Alabama, but we'll obviously have you covered on all of that. And we begin with the Auburn QB battle. Hugh Freeze, the new coach, the quarterbacks. The room is good, but undetermined. And we are beginning our conversation, before we get to some of the other matters, with Justin Ferguson. And Justin, it's always great to have you joining us. Good afternoon. Thanks for the time. And tell us about Hugh Freeze's first spring on the Plains. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. It's a really interesting time of year for Auburn because you're starting spring practice earlier than usual. Auburn has a spring break next week, so the players will be off then, so they're getting it started a little earlier than usual this week. But it's such a big time for Auburn because this is a team that came in and signed one of the biggest transfer classes in the country, got a pretty good-sized group of early enrollees. So about a quarter of this roster is pretty much brand new. Most of your coaching staff is new. You only have two assistants that are coming back. And so there's a lot of questions, especially at quarterback and at the line of scrimmage for Auburn. Those are two areas where they struggled last season in a losing campaign. And you know, today starts really the work on field to try to put all the pieces together and see who fits best and where in two brand new systems. Because, like I said, pretty much everything is new around Auburn football heading into this spring ball.
Justin, let's get to the quarterback situation because that's the one we're all going to be watching. What does it look like, and is there a favorite among the group?
Yeah, so the Auburn's got three scholarship quarterbacks on the roster right now, and it is Robbie Ashford, who finished last season as Auburn's starter, where he played most of the season there as the starter. TJ Finley took a leave of absence last season from Auburn after, a few weeks after he was benched. He's back, though, and he will be going through spring practices. And then Holden Garner was a redshirt freshman, played a little bit last season in a game against Missouri, but that was it. Ashford's got to be considered the favorite, but it's a really important time for Auburn because Hugh Freeze has not shied away from the fact that they may be looking at adding a transfer quarterback. They went after a couple of guys in the portal in the early window. Neither of their top options came through. They had some others that they were linked to and decided to stay pat. And what Hugh Freeze and Phillip Montgomery have both kind of talked about here the last couple months is that what they learn in spring practice is going to really determine what they do in the May transfer portal window. Are they confident enough in what they have at quarterback moving forward to roll with the three guys they got? And if not, they might be going into the portal and seeing what they can come up with, in that second window in May. So it's a big spring, especially for Robbie Ashford. This is a guy who ran the ball exceptionally well, played through injury, stepped up in a tough season for Auburn, but he was the least accurate and one of the least efficient quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the FBS last year. And so he's got to get a lot better with his arm in order to, be a winning starting quarterback in the SEC. And that's going to be the task for Phillip Montgomery and Hugh Freeze here in this first spring practice, is try to get him going in that direction.
Chatting with Justin Ferguson from Auburn Observer. Justin, we've had a lot of awkward conversations the past 2 years about Brian Harsin, how he fit in. Mm-hmm. I think the answer to this is going to be pretty easy for you, but how is Hugh Freeze doing down there? And I'm assuming he's fitting in really well based on what I hear and read.
Yeah, I mean, I think culture-wise, he's a really good fit for Auburn because he is an SEC guy. He fits in with kind of the personality down here on the Plains. He has a great track record with offense, which is what Auburn fans are clamoring to see, especially after these last couple of years, and recruiting. I mean, Hugh Freeze comes in and at the end of November, gets his staff together. They go from, you know, in the 50s or 60s in recruiting rankings to getting around a top 20 class. In a matter of a few weeks, it's on one of the biggest transfer classes in the country, probably top five pretty much wherever you look at it in terms of his ranking. And so those early returns, I mean, it's exactly what Auburn wanted when they hired Hugh Freeze in the first place, because they knew he would hit the ground running with recruiting and getting people on board, because talent acquisition has got to be so, so important, especially after the last couple of years where he failed in that under Brian Harsin. And now for Auburn, it's just going to be a matter of, can he help put together an offense that has really struggled the last few seasons? And can he bring some of what he did at Ole Miss and Liberty and have it be successful in year one at Auburn? And also, you know, can it work with Philip Montgomery, a guy who was an incredible offensive coordinator at Baylor, had some really good offenses during his time at Tulsa, and now is going back from being a head coach to an OC. So, yeah, a really good fit. I mean, he's checked a lot of the boxes early. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of questions that need to be answered over these next few months on the field with how he develops his guys.
Justin Ferguson from Auburn Observer. Always really great to hear from him. Thanks so much, Justin. We appreciate it. We'll be back with you as the spring unfolds. Hugh Freeze's first at Auburn University. We have a lot to do today. We're going to talk to some major personalities, including the legendary Nolan Richardson coming up. We'll get into the Alabama situation. As I mentioned at the top, it got worse over the weekend instead of better. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Long way to go here on a Monday afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We'll talk to the legendary Nolan Richardson a little bit longer later. Don Jackson, Donald Maurice Jackson, is a well-known attorney in Montgomery, Alabama. And he has represented a number of players against the NCAA, and he will talk to us today about the impact of Brandon Miller. And our man David Hale on could Florida State be bolting the ACC, and Andy Woodery later on. Let's get to your phone calls right away. And Andre from the ATL starts it off. Andre, thank you. Good afternoon.
Coach, what's going on, Coach Feinbaum? How was your weekend, Coach?
It was great. Thank you.
You know, what has been whispered behind closed doors in the ACC conference has bolted to the open now, Coach. You see Clemson and Florida State, they won't out. What's your verdict, Coach Feinbaum?
Andre, we're just giving opinions here, but it is my opinion that they do want out. I think both Clemson and Florida State have determined that the ACC is a diminished league based on other leagues. I'm watching my words carefully because there's a censor to my right.
Right.
When the new contracts go into effect next year with the Big Ten and the SEC, that's when it's going to come home. As they say in the South, the chickens come home to roost. All of a sudden, the ACC, which was a major Power 5 league, is going to look like a minor league operation in comparison.
Well, one more question, Coach. What do you think? And you're a lawyer now. What do you think are their chances of getting out of this grant of rights? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
Andre,
I think the only way they get out is if the ACC recalibrates, meaning that they realize they have to do something and they adjust. And I'm not really sure how they can do that, though. From a legal standpoint, all these schools are on the hoof. Thank you for the call. Robert is in Alabama. Hello, Robert.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for the call.
I got a question about the Brandon Miller Alabama situation. I was listening this morning when you were on Mac and Cube, and did you or did you not say that Alabama was under the gun?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did say that, and then I'm sure you heard what I said.
Well,
after
don't
that.
You think that was a bad choice of words? I mean, we're all
Robert,
on NATO,
Robert,
we're
Robert,
all on Greg
Robert,
Byrne,
the
we're
second.
All on, why don't we get on Paul Feinbaum?
You're welcome to. But Robert, the second I said that, I realized what I had said. If you did listen to the next sentence, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I did. But you know, you did say it.
So yeah, did, you know what, Robert?
Robert,
are you going to allow me to talk, or are you just going to talk over me?
Hey, well, you know, y'all have been on Alabama, Brandon Miller, Nate Oates, Greg Byrne so much. Mm-hmm. You know, why don't we get on Paul Feinbaum? You know,
Robert,
media folks.
Robert, can I get one word in here or not? Just answer me yes or no.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, sir. I'm listening.
First of all, the idea of this program is for people to do exactly what you're doing. Secondly, I'm not the head basketball coach at Alabama. I'm a talk show host.
And, thank God for that.
Well, it is. But I'll tell you one thing, Robert, now that you brought it up, had I been the head coach at Alabama, I would have been acutely aware of that disgraceful act that we all saw Saturday that has been disseminated millions and millions of times. And that was my point about Mr. Byrne. And I'm not saying that it's his job, but he's ultimately in charge of the athletic department. And you would think that there was one person in that athletic department between January 15th and Saturday who may have said to themselves or someone else, you know what, this great thing that gets 15,000 people on their feet at the beginning of the game might be a bad look under the circumstances, but you want to criticize me for choosing a word that I was describing? The question from Greg was, what's going to happen as Alabama gets deeper into the tournament? And my point was, when they are under enormous pressure. Yeah, I use that word, and I don't deny using it, because I immediately said that's a poor choice of words. I'm the one who said that, not anyone else.
My point being is, you know, everybody makes mistakes.
Hey, by the way, Robert, what is your point other than to obfuscate for Nate Oates in Alabama? Would you mind sharing that with us?
Well, yeah, it's okay for people like you in the media to say stupid stuff and get away with it.
By the way, Robert, I don't think what I said was stupid. I wasn't describing the situation with my player. I was simply describing the situation with Alabama under the pressure of the NCAA tournament.
You can spin it any way you want.
No,
to
I'm not.
Paul,
by the way, Robert, I'm not spinning anything.
You know.
Yeah. I have nothing to spin. I don't work for the University of Alabama. I work for ESPN.
Yeah. All right. You have a great day, Paul.
I'm going to try to after this call. I don't think I will because I think you probably ruined everyone's day. But that's okay. Let's move on and talk to Matt, who is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, brother. How you doing? No, that caller, just ignore him, Paul. You're a great guy. You guys are better than me, man. I want to talk about England basketball, the loss we had in Mississippi State. Man, that was a tough loss. But, you know, I shake it off. I still think this team's going to be a good basketball team this year. I didn't get in the NCAA tournament. And what I'm looking forward to the spring football game, I want to see how good Kyle Whitman could be this year. And what's your thoughts? And if we could take the next level and bounce back from a horrible season. And, Paul, like I said, you're a burden to me, man. And I appreciate everything you guys have done for me. And I consider Legend a good friend. I'm sorry for ever defending Joe from Red Bay. But I hope someday I can still make you guys proud. And I want your thoughts on that. And what is the schedule going to be like for 2024 with the SEC, Paul? Are we still going to play Texas?
A&M will definitely play Texas. I don't think A&M will play all the natural rivals from that area, but Texas will be number one. Scott is up next. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We are doing well, thank you.
Hey, first time calling. Love the show. Just wanted to respond to Robert earlier with that call. I too listened to you on Greg and on the show this morning here in Birmingham. And, you know, I think and even last week I heard Kevin Skarbinski speak about all the outrage and everything. Just wanted to point out or discuss that, you know, if Alabama would have just made a simple comment at the first when all this happened, just, hey, we're aware of two other basketball players that were there that night. We're just investigating. You know, he talked about the rush to judgment and everything. That could have solved that. but as far as one narrative I keep hearing is you know, there's no charges. He did nothing wrong. And I get that. He's not criminally charged with anything. We don't know all the details. But to say he did nothing wrong, I kind of have a problem with that. I mean, intentionally wrong or not, I wouldn't say he didn't do anything wrong. But that's kind of
– Well, Scott, I frankly don't think the school acted incorrectly in the sense that if they had suspended him without explanation, and I think they would have given everybody an invitation to – start reporting that it's very likely the reason why, because he was at the scene. Because let's be honest, that was known at the time. And they had a difficult choice to make. I frankly, by not doing anything, they did create the moment that they would have to pay for it later on. And I mean, if you're at Alabama and you didn't realize that the day was coming that there would be a preliminary hearing, then you clearly are not aware of your surroundings, and I think they are. Thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with Shlomo in Los Angeles. Hey, Shlomo.
Hey, Paul. It's cold in Los Angeles. It's raining.
I saw the snow in L.A. County. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's so cold out here that I saw an L.A. city councilman with their hands in their own pockets.
that's a first time for everything, I guess.
Yes. Paul, the other day I heard Jim was having a little bit of a health scare, and it sounded like he had a little bit of an epiphany. And maybe he's turned the page, and I'd like to hear him talk ball finally. I never got the privilege of hearing him talk ball, and I imagine he's page 54 because of how great he talks ball, but all I've heard the last 5 years, I just don't find compelling, and I want to hear Jim talk ball because I'm pretty sure it's compelling.
Yeah, it was compelling, Shlomo. I'm sad that you missed the glory days, but maybe they'll return again. Thank you for the call. Denise is up next. Hello, Denise. Good afternoon.
Yes, is this Paul?
It is, yes.
Okay. I just want to voice my opinion.
Please.
Being a big Alabama fan, and I think that you have been against Alabama no matter what we do or what we don't do. And I think for why, maybe it's for publicity to make money on your show. I get that. And but it's been very frustrating to me because I've always respected you, but not now.
Janice, is it possible for me to ask you to explain where you think I have been out to get or against Alabama?
Well, it doesn't matter if it's football.
Mm-hmm.
We're a terrible team. We have terrible coaches, whether it's basketball, football, whatever it is. Alabama has handled everything wrong, and all you want to do is stir the pot against Alabama.
Now, Denise,
that's my opinion.
Denise, you're certainly welcome to it. Do you feel like let's just keep this on the most recent issue involving Brandon Miller. Do you feel comfortable with the way everything's gone down there?
I think they've made some mistakes. They're people, just like you are, just like you made a mistake this morning with the comment that you made. But just like the first caller that called in that said, oh, okay, it's okay for the media to turn everything around. And I've seen so many things about in the media that some of it was not even true.
Mm-hmm.
And went into the facts.
Denise, could you tell us what wasn't true that the media reported?
Okay. Well, they did. Let's see. Let me think for sure what has been. Well, I think I read in the New York Post or the New York Times that Miller was 24. Okay. Well, that's not true. And I also read that they were heard that he had his girlfriend with him during that time, and then and that he deliberately carried the gun back when he was going back to pick up his friends, and this happened on the way, the text, and we should have set boundaries for ourselves. I get that. Young people need to do this. And I hope
Denise,
that young
what,
man
Denise,
is
what,
not
what,
involved.
What boundaries do you think should have been set that would have prevented this terrible tragedy from happening?
I think he should have boundaries. I don't think he could have prevented this from happening. He was not involved with the gun itself. And I don't think he could do that. I'm just saying setting boundaries to who you and where you go and what you do. Not that he was at, in my opinion.
Would you not deny that he was carrying the gun in his car that ended up killing someone?
Okay, he was not carrying the gun.
Denise, I said carrying the gun in his car. Are you denying the gun was in the car?
To my knowledge, from what I've got from this, he was not aware that the gun was in his car.
Even though he received the text
when he was on his way over there.
Okay, and Janice, are you suggesting that he didn't know that he didn't look at his phone? I'll leave it here. What exactly are you suggesting here, other than I'm out to get Alabama?
That's my main thing.
Okay.
If that's what you're about.
Well, let's leave
and
it
I
there.
Know
I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to try to dissuade you from anything else. We'll take a break. 30 minutes that I will forever remember. We will take a break. Come back. Nolan Richardson joins us in a minute.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And more on Southern Hoops later. Two consecutive years, Arkansas played in the national championship game, winning it in 94. And the head coach of that team, and he'll be featured, of course, tonight. Nolan Richardson joins us. Coach, it is always such a pleasure to talk to you. Can't wait to see the piece tonight. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for being here. And how are you doing?
For an old man. So how are you doing?
Coach, I'm doing great. Trying to deal with all the issues in the SEC, which you've dealt with for a long time, and now can sit back and just nod your head and go, wow, what a league.
You're absolutely right about that. Absolutely.
Well, let me go back to we just played the clip, which will be seen tonight. When your team was completely and totally undervalued and underestimated, in your opinion and many others, completely disrespected the night before the national championship game. I knew you guys were motivated, but how important was that conversation on ESPN when I think it was Mitch Albom who said the smarter team will win and it won't be Arkansas? Did that really get to you guys as much as it seemed from that video?
Well, I don't know if it got my guys, but it sure got me more than anything that I know. I mean, you know, again, you know, they used to talk about how I would carry a chip on my shoulder. And I said, I wish it was a chip. I got a mountain on my shoulder. And so when you come out and say something to the effect that some team is smarter, it motivates me to want to do the best job we can possibly do to win.
And Coach, how often, because you're right. Anybody that's ever been to one of your games, I mean, you carried a lot on your shoulders and you used it expertly to motivation. But how did that change? Just generally, obviously it mattered there, but when you would see a slight, and you saw many in your career, some a lot more vile than talking about IQ and intelligence, how did you process it and use it without losing total control? Because you don't want to get too emotional, do you?
Not really. And I tried to get my team to every game has its own merit, and every game, you know, you don't worry about what this team did to this other team and this team. That is for the announcers, like the ones who made the statement about the fact that the smarter team will win. I mean, that shows me how smart he is, because it had nothing to do with being smarter. It's having something to do with understanding the game, understanding how you have played, understanding what winning is. All those things come into play, and your heart. I mean, how much heart have you got? Are they able to measure all those things? No. Today, they're still measuring. And I keep imagining if you could measure the heart of my players, if they were 6 feet tall, they'd have a heart of a 9-footer.
Coach, going back, and I guess it was, 29 years ago, in terms of that moment in time, and I mentioned that you were right back there in the final game in 95 again, and you had a lot of success, but How does that game, winning the national championship, how did it define you? And I mean, I know it defines your program, but from a personal standpoint, what did that mean?
Well, from a personal standpoint, first I got to go back. The first national championship I was able to win was the junior college national championship, where we went undefeated.
Right.
And that first that gave me the idea that I could probably do as well on the next level. And I was able to go to Tulsa and win the NIT. And then, of course, to finish it off with winning the national championship. it gave me something that I needed to have, because it was always proving yourself. You have to prove yourself game after game, day after day, time after time. And the media wasn't that kind to me when I started off. I had what I would call a disadvantage. I had a daughter that was very, very sick, who later passed away. We had to deal with those kinds of things and worry about a basketball team. I could care less about basketball at that point. So being able to go back to back to a national championship, I felt that somehow I didn't get my guys prepared mentally for the game as I did for the other games that we had played.
Talking to Nolan Richardson, in addition to the aforementioned junior college championship, you went to three Final Fours. Coach, as you watch the game today, and I've had conversation with you in the past about the difference in the game, but what stands out when you, assuming you do watch it, when you see what we're seeing now every Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and about to watch in the SEC and NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, I noticed that the game is pretty changed. I mean, it's predicated on who can shoot the basketball three-point range. It seems to me that a lot of the teams, they work very hard to shoot the same shot they had on the second or third pass. To me, you know, that when I see teams that play the type of defense that you have to play and incorporate as some of your offense, I enjoy watching that. But to just see you go down and it's your turn to run your offense, and then it's my turn on the other end to run my offense, and everybody's saying, what a great game. I mean, the game, to me, is up-tempo, and that's the reason I guess we decided that 40 minutes of hell was not only on the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well.
You mentioned it, and when you say Nolan Richardson, there's always a comma, and the next line is who won a national championship and went to three Final Fours and did this and that. But also, in the same paragraph, it talks about the 40 minutes of hell. I realize that a lot of young people have heard about it and they may watch it tonight, but how did that happen? How did that come up, and how did you teach it?
Well, it wasn't a game plan. The 40 minutes of hell was the days that we worked out, and for the first 40 minutes, it was holy hell in my workout. after you caught the hell for 40 minutes, then we had a little practice of what basketball would be like. But I wanted you to feel what I had always come to believe, that fatigue will make cowards of us all. And anybody gets tired, does not, their legs are gone, everything changes, their attitude changes. So we decided that this is how I wanted to play, and it was been that way for a long, long time. I just with no name. All of a sudden, one of my players asked me as I came to the University of Arkansas, are we going to do what we do like this every day? And I said, yes. He says, Coach, that's hell. I said, 40 minutes of it. That's what it is. You dang right it's hell. And I know it, because I don't think practice should be fun. Everybody, I hear, well, you know, I'm going to practice to have fun. No, the only fun you should have is at the game winning. That's the fun.
I mean, in terms of attrition, these are your players, and they signed up. But how much could you learn pretty early on when you're watching these guys try to deal with what you and your staff were putting them through?
Well, the thing that made it very simple for me is that we work out at 6 in the morning, the preseason kind of. And to get up, and especially when it gets cold up there in the hills, and to run the mountain a little bit, the hill, you can tell who wants to play and who's going to be here. And because if you go through my workouts, now this is only in the preseason. If you can get through the workout, you're pretty well on your way to having a season. All my guys knew they would have to play. And I put that in their heads, because the hardest minutes that you can play on the floor is going to help us execute and do the right things and win games.
Coach, you're a Hall of Fame coach. Your accolades speak for themselves, but you mentioned your daughter, and so many people I don't think really saw that part of your life. This documentary is naturally talking about mostly the highlights of what happened in your career and others, but how do you feel like you're being portrayed from a historical standpoint, and how do you think you should be remembered as a great coach?
Well, Paul, I never look at myself as a great coach or anything like that. I know who I am, and I know where I came from, and I was raised by an old grandmother who said to me more than once, know where you come from so you can get a chance to know where you're going. And so I've never lost that feeling. Again, others can say how good I am or if I'm a great coach or not. But far as I'm concerned, I'm going to give you as hard a job as I can give you every single day. I think that's one of the reasons I was dismissed or fired, because of the words that I chose to say over and over again. If I'm not doing the job, then you need to pay me and fire me, and I'll be on my way. That had nothing to do with anything other than that's who I am. If I'm not a good enough coach, and I know that I'm trying to open doors, when you win games and become someone, then other people are going to want someone that looks like you, talk like you, even act like you. And so that those are the kind of things that were always taught to me by my grandmother, saying, you know, we had Jackie Robinson. If he hadn't done this, this wouldn't have happened. And so it's your turn. The good Lord brought you here for your turn to continue to open and pave roads where your kids won't have to walk on gravel like you did. And so you had those kinds of things in the back of your head. So I was more than thinking about coaching basketball. It was about human behavior, human you getting the opportunity. Coming up in a days where I couldn't even go to the swimming pool, to the movies, or a major college basketball player, lead the team in scoring and can't play on the court because they don't allow black. So you go through a whole lot of things to be, I guess, considered a great basketball coach.
Well, Coach, you are considered among the best, and your record speaks for it, as well as both on the court and off. And I deeply appreciate you making time for us. So we are in your debt, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much. The legendary Nolan Richardson, he'll be part of the documentary tonight. We head to the break. More of your phone calls right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here at the conclusion of hour number one, Jim is up next.
I've never said this, but I'm going to answer the man's question that you he said I wasn't compelling anymore. This may be the most compelling call I ever made, Paul, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. 5 years ago, as he said, I don't know how he knew the number, but that's about 5 years ago exactly almost when this happened. I put my hand to the phone to call you and talk about football, like I've been doing many, many times. I heard God communicate. That's all I can tell you, but I know without a doubt, there's no doubt in my mind, but what I heard, God communicated this to me. I don't want you to talk about football anymore on Feinbaum. That's what he said. And all my life, above all else, I have feared God more than anything else since I was old enough to think two or three years old when that happened to me. I realized how powerful and real God is, and I knew you better fear God or you're in trouble. So that's what I've done, and that's what I just told you is the fact, and that's why I've not done any more talking about football. That's what he said. He just said, I don't want you to talk about football anymore on the Feinbaum Show.
Well, I knew that. Yeah, well, I appreciate you saying that. I knew that from personal interaction.
I told you that. I told you that privately one time.
I just didn't know if we'd ever said that publicly, but I'm glad you did.
No, we had not. But I just felt compelled this time that I need to answer the man's questions. The Bible says be prepared for an answer to any man, and that's what I've done.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.